Tori Belici. That's right. Tori from Mythbusters fame, also the Star Wars connection. We'll get into that in the podcast. This is episode 264 of Guardians of the Geekery, recorded at Con Carolinas in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sorry, we've taken a little while to get this episode out. Our fearless leader, the Giddy Geeker, had some major surgery, but we're back to it, and you're really going to want to listen to this episode. Tori was really fun, laid back, and delivered the goods here, so listen and then let us know what you think.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
We have a very special guest now. We have Tori here.
Hi.
From so many places, but first they may know you from Mythbusters, right?
Yes,
Mythbusters. But you've done all the things. Like, your bio is very long.
I kind of have like a, like that little geeky boy when I was a kid. It's like the dream has come true. Like, my, you know, my biggest dream was to work on Star Wars. And
oh my God,
and
yes.
That, when that happened, it was like, it can't get any better than this.
But it did.
It's like,
it
hold
did.
My beer.
Yeah, there you go. It did get better.
My favorite Mythbusters was when you guys redid the popcorn scene. And you're like, it's with lasers. I'm like, okay, now Tori's my favorite. Yeah.
I would nerd out pretty hard on the show.
Yes, as would we. So that's the good thing. But you've got some exciting new stuff coming up as well, right?
Yeah. So Adam Savage has a new show on Science Channel called Building, or Savage Builds. And so he had called me up to come and be on an episode. So it's going to be fun. It's kind of a competition episode. We're kind of battling each other, and we're building ridiculous weapons and contraptions. And it was really fun to work with the old crew and to be working with Adam again. It was a real fun experience.
It's your favorite thing to do, so there's always going to be a series, right? I mean, like, it seems like Adam just is like, yeah, I got to do it again. I got to do more. I got to do more builds.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I don't know where he gets the energy, but he does.
And then you're going to go in a little different direction with the guys from Jackass?
Yeah, so I have been talking to the creators of Jackass, and we are developing a show idea for me. So I'm excited about that. I can't really talk much about it because it's not official yet, but
you know, this is an audio podcast right now. Yeah. Can't talk about that.
Do you get to blow shit up though?
Hand signals. Yeah. So what was your first build that you ever did as a kid?
My first build as a kid. Well, you know what's crazy is my dad was like very much of an artist and builder. And so in our garage, we had like a full shop. We had a drill press, we had a table saw and a bandsaw. And so at a really young age, he would let me work on the bandsaw and the table saw, which scared my parents. I mean, my mom freaked my mom out.
But you have all 10 fingers. Yeah,
they're all mine. Yes. There's no grafting here. So at a very young age, I used to build, like, I think I built like an electric guitar, but out of wood. Like, I mean, it was just a piece of crap, and you know, I like strung it with rubber bands. So, like, ever since I was a little kid, I was building, you know, ridiculous things.
But it paid off.
Yeah,
so not so ridiculous, maybe.
Well, because my birthday is October 30th, so Halloween is a big deal for me. So I would basically tear up my parents' front yard and turn it into a graveyard and a haunted house, and that was another place where I kind of, you know, learned skills on how to build. And you know, the other thing was like, oh, I wanted to do special effects makeup, so you know, I did a lot of sculpting and molding and mask making. So I guess it was just you know, kind of something I always did. It was something I wanted to do for a career, but I didn't really know how it was going to happen.
And then it did. So how did you get involved with the Mythbusters crew? Was that like an audition process, or did you just go on site and blow shit up?
Well, so we...
Look, I
whoever
can do
blows
this.
Up the ship best gets the job. I blow up shit good. So the way it worked was, you know, I had been friends with Jamie and Adam for years because we had all worked together in special effects. And so when Discovery came up with this idea, it was an Australian production company that co-produced it with us, with Discovery. They were like, we're looking for people who can build anything and who kind of have an understanding of science. And so Jamie and Adam were chosen, and because I had worked with them for so many years, it was just kind of like, okay, we're doing a job all together. So they called me up and they're like, hey, can you come in? We need to do a video test. We want you to come on the show and be a background builder. And I was like, yeah, I could do that, sure. So I did like a little like funny video. It was a mini myth. It was Do Women Fart? And I think I have it online somewhere.
And so, yes, you know,
so I did this ridiculous stunt where I went to this taqueria and put a hidden mic underneath the table.
Oh,
and,
God.
And,
oh, my God.
And I think that video kind of showed my sense of humor. And they were like, you know, the people at Discovery were like, okay, we like this guy. Can he build? Can he, you know, interact with the others? So that's kind of how, I mean, it wasn't really like an audition where you go in and there's like 10 other people that look just like you. It was more of, we were builders, we worked together, and it was like, hey, come play.
Okay, so you probably get this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it. What was your favorite Mythbusters episode or your favorite busted myth?
That is the first time anybody has
I'm sure nobody has ever asked you that question.
We ask the original questions here. Yeah,
this is journalism at its finest.
Right, yes.
You know, I always go back to, it was the first time we were working with high explosives. It was the cement truck. And, you know, we had been, up until that point, we were doing small myths and little things were blowing up, but we didn't really, like, it wasn't our thing yet. Like, we hadn't figured out blowing stuff up does really well for TV. And so, you know, we were testing the myth that this guy had a cement truck. The concrete went off in his truck, and he started using, instead of chipping it out with the jackhammer, he wanted to use dynamite. And he used too much, and he ended up blowing up his truck. So we, like, ramped it up slowly, and we got up to, like, 10 sticks of dynamite, and still nothing was happening. I mean, the truck wasn't being damaged. The concrete was, you know, in perfect condition. So we're like, we don't really have an ending to this story. How are we going to finish this episode? And then some producer was like, hey, what if we just filled the whole thing with explosives and see what happens? And we're all like, yeah, that's a great idea. And so we went out to the quarry, loaded it up with like 850 pounds of AMFO. We were a mile away. We set it off, and it was like, from then on, I was, you know, addicted. Like, the adrenaline rush was so crazy.
So do you still do builds at home on your own in your spare time?
Occasionally, yeah. In fact, I did this. There's this movie, a low-budget independent film, and they're friends of mine, and I was like, oh, I want to die in your movie. I go, I want a cameo in the movie. And it's like this, it's about these like two rival gangs. It's called Chuck Hank and the San Diego Twins. And it's Coat Wolf. It's the guys who did, you know, they've done some movies. Bellflower, did you guys ever,
have you heard
of Bellflower?
Yes.
So I was like, I want a cameo. And it's like this big gang fight scene. And they're like, all right, well, like, let's kill you. How can we kill you? And I go, well, I have a head cast of myself. I can make a fake head, and we can figure out a way to, like, smash my head or something. And so it was fun because I hadn't really done effects, like, special effects makeup in a while, and it forced me to kind of pull out my old, you know, materials and my old tools, and I made this fake head. And in the scene, they ripped my head off, and it was just, it was like... I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. So it just it kind of brought me back to just like film school and the independent cinema making. So it was fun.
Okay, Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars nut. So you've got to tell me about being involved with making the ships and the designs.
That was the original in 77 was the movie that like changed my life and made Absolutely. Me want to do model making and special effects. So when I got a job up at Industrial Light Magic, the first movie I worked on was Starship Trooper.
Oh yeah.
And that's like one of my favorite movies, probably like my favorite special effects movie I ever worked on, and just to be there was a dream come true. And then, so we were working on that movie. They were hiring a bunch of people because it was like towards the end of the film, they had to get it out. And when the film was, when the work was done, they would lay off most of the shop until another big show would come. So I was laid off and I was like, oh, that, wow, okay, I could put that on my resume. Cool. And then I got a call from Steve Golley, he was one of the original model makers on Star Wars and built he's like the guru. He's the master. Yeah. He called me and he was like, hey, we're ramping up a new movie. We wanted to know if you wanted to come in and work on it. And I was like, whatever you guys want, I'll come work on. And so it wasn't until I got there, he was like, so we're working on SW-1.
Oh, my God.
And, it was like, oh, my gosh, the dream come true. And just, I think I had more fun, working on it was more fun and satisfying than watching the movie.
Yeah. I can see how that would be.
We get that.
We were so fired up because it was like, it had been so many years since the last Star Wars, and it was just like, oh my gosh, like George Lucas is directing, we're working on the new generation of Star Wars, and we had all these there was all these conceptual artwork all on the walls and all these sculptures that were happening, and we were building these models, and it was just like everything was new and it looked different and it was exciting. It was grueling. I mean, it was like a year and a half of work. That was fun. Then the movie, we saw the movie and it was like, wait a minute, what happened?
but for the record, it was never the effects that the fans weren't into. It was the story. And that's not part of your job.
That's true. This is very true. Thank you for making me feel better.
And not only that, but if those three hadn't happened, then I don't think that these next three would be so much at a level too, because
true.
We realize we really do want to go back to that world. Now we just want some of the original people back as well. And I think, whatever people may say about Star Wars, it allowed us to play in that world. Star Trek, totally. Y'all have TV shows. You have week after week. Those of us with Star Wars, we just have to cling to those.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think Tiffle said it best. Now, she said it about the Gilmore Girls, but she said it best when she said,
it's like, I relate so much.
She's like, even if it's a trash can, at least I get to be in Stars Hollow for another minute. So,
right.
We didn't have anything else. I mean, we had the novels, but from a movie perspective, we didn't have anything else.
And the pod race is still one of the coolest sequences in any of the Star Wars movies, I think.
No, I mean,
it's so exciting, and it was phenomenal. When you go back and watch it, you're just like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
it's so intricate. And
there was a lot of good points to it. I feel like if they just change Jar Jar's voice, if they just change his voice, just give him like a fake alien voice with subtitles, it would have made it a better film. Yeah. Would have made him a better character.
Yeah, forget about changing Jabba the Hutt. Let's just change Jar Jar. It would have been fine. Mm-hmm. So, are there questions from the audience before we steal all the time? Janine?
Sure.
Just remember, short questions so I can repeat it because I have no brain.
All right, so the way
yeah, was there an idea you brought to them and said, this is what I want to work on next? Probably hundreds, right? But
the one that kind of always got away from us was, I kind of pitched it like this, and it was going over Niagara Falls in a barrel. And And I said, what if each of us builds our own barrel? And, you know, you construct it however hard you want, right? You know, and you just build this insane pod. But then at the last minute, everybody has to test other people. So it's like you can't test yours. You have to, like, shift over one, and now you have to, or you know, you pick out of the hat whose barrel you're going to go over in. And they were like, yeah, that's never going to happen.
You're like, but at least I can say I tried.
Yeah, you guys go first. And it'll be, who is Tori Blaichi on MythBuster?
Do we have others?
Any questions?
So, Tori, tell us about some of the projects you're working on. You've got Jackass, you've got the guest spots coming up. What are some things that you're working on that maybe we won't see on TV, but you're just doing for fun for yourself?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw White Rabbit Project.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's funny. A lot of people don't, like, a lot of our diehard fans didn't even know it happened. Like, people
weird
are like,
what? Algorithms in social media right now, and I really have a problem with some of that.
I think, and the other thing is there's so much content coming out every, like, week, it feels like, on every different platform that it's really hard to keep track of what's happening.
It's like they want us geeks to be healthier and go out in the sun, and then they keep putting all this binge-watchable stuff on TV. It's like, you don't know how long my list is, and you're telling me I have to go walking? I don't know what to do with this information.
I don't have enough hours in my life. So we did the White Rabbit Project, which we love, but it just, the name, I feel like, confused the fans, and it was, our producers wanted to do something completely different than MythBusters, but Netflix called us to do something like MythBusters. So it was just this weird, it was like this internal conflict where we're like, let's give them more explosions, let's do more builds together. And they're like, no, you each are going to be separate, and, you know, we're going to do these storytelling and reenactment. So I think, you know, there was a lot of problems with it, but overall I still think the show is great and I love it. It's just, I feel like it wasn't exactly what fans were expecting,
and that's frustrating because you know what you want to do.
Yeah, you know what the fan, I mean, I know what the fans love, because it's like we did it for over a decade, and it's like we saw over the time what shows rated better. It was like, when, you know, you have these crazy arcs, and then all of a sudden there's an explosion, and then there's a problem that's solved, or a conclusion that nobody expected. You know, it's like people love that kind of, those surprises. And, we were trying to put that in.
Yeah, we were talking about that a bit yesterday in some of our panels, about how sometimes it's hard when you're the face of a project, but you can only do so much. You can give your experience, you can give your input, but ultimately you're the one, you're on screen trying to do what they want, based on what they're giving you the money for.
Yeah.
And that can be frustrating at times. So hopefully these new projects that you get to work on are going to be...
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And then I have this other... It's a kind of short content. It came out of the idea of, there were so many myths that we couldn't test because there was no science. There was no kind of... there was no way to test it scientifically, and there was kind of no way to prove. It was just kind of ridiculous stories. Like, putting the woman who puts her poodle in the microwave to dry it, and the poodle explodes.
Yeah,
you can't test that. You don't want to test that.
No. Yeah, no.
So I have this short animation series that I'm working on right now, but like super short, like 3 minute, like short content, of all, like, these, they're going to be like super stylized, super creepy, of the myths that we couldn't test on the show, but I'm going to do it in these animated shorts.
That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. It's like, stop asking me about the poodle. Look, there's a video. Google it. It'll be fine. So, well, thank you.
Yeah, so where can we find you on the interwebs? Where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at Tori Blaichi, and then Instagram is the same, and Facebook, and then I got a website, and I have a YouTube channel. I haven't really played around with that. Like, I post stuff every once in a while, but I need to do more.
And if there's one thing that we could ask our listeners on social media to do to help you, what could we do to be supportive?
Oh, that's nice. I don't know. Just,
well, there are some in South America, too, so think about that. We don't know why. We hope it's not to learn English, because we're not good at that.
I guess it's just, it's hard to know, because it's like, I guess just engage, right?
Right. Share.
Yeah. Share and engage.
Yeah. So just remember, supporting local means just supporting the artist, because like you said, if you want to see the kind of stuff that Tori knows will do well, you have to support it when it comes out, because otherwise he's not going to be given the opportunities, or people aren't going to, you know, it helps to have that, you know, look, not only do I know this works, but here's all the people agreeing with
me. Right.
Listen to them. So make sure you share, retweet, and support all the things you'd love. Because if you don't, it goes away.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in this microwavable, consumable market that we've got
and
going on right
just
now.
And so many things coming at you. It's like, I don't have time to watch everything.
Yeah, you have to. That's the biggest thing with social media. It's like you have to kind of focus on what you know you can do. If you're an Instagram person, just be Instagram. If you're a Twitter person, be Twitter. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned. It's like I can't do all the things, because I can suck at all the things, or I can do a couple right. So, well, Tori, thank you so much.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for having
me.
Great
to have you.
Thank you.
Tiffles is talking. Say Tiffles.
Hello.
She speaks. I bet they don't let you speak.
We just always
they
want
don't.
People to know she's acting.
They don't.
Because she asked questions like, what is smog from Lord of the Rings? Smog. Was it like London?
Is it like LA?
Fog?
Is it like Los Angeles air?
And that's just like our credibility as guardians of the geekery just kind of goes. It's like one of your explosions, right? Tori, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.